This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, water vapour in the atmosphere of a carbon star, and new results from the upgraded Hubble Space Telescope. Stars less than roughly 9 times as massive as the Sun are generally not massive enough to end their lives as supernovae, evolving instead to become what is known as asymptotic giant branch stars. During the main part of its life, a star fuses hydrogen at high temperatures and pressures in the core, forming helium. When the hydrogen is exhausted, the core contracts and the temperature increases until the helium begins to burn. Once the helium in the core is also used up, the core once again shrinks, while the helium in a shell surrounding the core begins to burn. At this stage in a star's life, it is known as an asymptotic giant branch, or AGB star. One class of AGB stars are carbon stars, so called because their spectra show numerous lines corresponding to the presence of carbon. From chemical models, such stars were predicted to have little or no water in their atmospheres, so the unexpected discovery in 2001 of water in the spectrum of a carbon star known as IRC 10216 was attributed to the possible presence of a population of orbiting comets or other icy bodies which were heated as the star brightened. Now, in a study published in Nature on the 2nd of September, an international team have provided evidence which is further challenging our understanding of the chemistry in these stars. Using the Herschel infrared satellite, the team observed IRC 10216 and found not just one spectral line corresponding to water, as in the previous observations, but dozens, both in the infrared and submillimeter parts of the spectrum. While the 2001 detection implied the presence of water in a comparatively cool region, some of the newly observed lines correspond to temperatures of around 1000 Kelvin, implying water is present in the inner regions of the star's envelope, a highly surprising result. As well as strong evidence for many other molecules, including carbon monoxide, hydrogen cyanide, and ammonia, the observations show the first evidence in the envelope of a carbon-rich AGB star of para-H2O, water molecules in which the spins of the protons are opposite instead of aligned, as in ortho-H2O. The temperature of the water vapour implied by the observations suggests that the water is present in the inner part of the envelope surrounding the star, ruling out the suggestion that the water is present only in the outer envelope due to a population of cometary or cometary-like bodies. The likely mechanism, according to the authors, is the penetration of ultraviolet photons deep into the star's atmosphere due to a clumpy structure in the outer layers. These photons could cause the dissociation of molecules such as carbon monoxide and silicon oxide, which contain oxygen atoms. Water then forms through simple reactions with hydrogen in the surrounding stellar atmosphere. This model fits the observational results, including the higher-than-expected abundance of other molecules such as ammonia, but requires a very clumpy circumstellar medium, highlighting that there is still a lot to learn about the chemistry and atmospheres of these evolving stars. Most supernovae occur in other galaxies at vast distances from the Earth, making detailed observations, required to understand the physics, difficult. The closest supernova explosion in modern times was that of SN 1987A, which was observed in the Large Magellanic Cloud, a dwarf galaxy orbiting the Milky Way, on the 23rd of February 1987, and was the brightest seen from Earth since Kepler's supernova of 1604. Events like these are important to understand in the context of galaxy evolution, as supernovae inject large amounts of both energy and heavy elements into the surrounding environment and can trigger further star formation. Located just 160,000 light-years away, SN 1987A provided a perfect opportunity to study a supernova in detail and to watch the transition from supernova to expanding remnant as the shockwave interacts with the surrounding gas of the interstellar medium. Numerous studies of SN 1987A have been made using the Hubble Space Telescope from its launch in 1990 until the failure of the Space Telescope Imaging Spectrograph in 2004. Now, a team led by Kevin France at the University of Colorado have used instruments on the refurbished telescope to compare the shock emission in 2010 with data taken in 2004. The fast-moving material ejected by a supernova moves outwards from the site of the explosion, interacting with the surrounding material of the interstellar medium and creating a blast wave, also known as a forward shock, which propagates outwards. The pressure of the layer of hot shocked gas created by the forward shock also creates another shock wave that travels back into the ejected material, known as a reverse shock. This simple structure is disturbed in real supernovae by variations in the density of the surrounding gas. In the case of SN 1987A, the shock expanded until it hit a relatively dense equatorial ring of material, thought to be the result of a mass loss event on the progenitor star, which occurred some 20,000 years before the explosion. This ring of material reflected the shock back into the debris from the explosion. Over the years, observations have shown this 1.3 light-year diameter ring develop into a series of 30 bright knots, and the new observations with the HST show that the emission from these shocked regions is still increasing, while the maximum velocities of the material in the shocks is decreasing. The results, published in Science magazine on September 24th, are consistent with theoretical predictions describing how supernovae interact with their immediate galactic environment. It is expected that over the next few years, these individual shocked hotspots will grow and merge together, eventually forming one giant glowing circle. The new data, together with further observations monitoring the continued evolution of the SN1987A remnant as it develops, will help determine how the energy deposited in such explosions alters both the dynamics and chemical composition of the galactic environment. And finally, the Einstein at Home Distributed Computing Project has discovered a new pulsar, the first discovered by volunteer computing efforts. Like the SETI at Home project, Einstein at Home uses the idle time of a vast network of home computers to search through datasets for specific signals. In this case, the primary goal is the detection of gravitational waves from rapidly spinning neutron stars, but since 2009, some of the computing time has also been used to search data from the 305-meter Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico, looking for the signatures of pulsars. On July 11, 2010, pulsar J2007+2722 was discovered by a computer using the Einstein at Home software. Follow-up observations were carried out with telescopes around the world, including the Green Bank Telescope in the US, the Lovell Telescope at Jodrell Bank in the UK, the Effelsberg Radio Telescope in Germany, and Arecibo in Puerto Rico. The observations confirmed that J2007+2722 has a period of 24 milliseconds, rotating more than 40 times a second. It is located at an approximate distance of 17,000 light-years, but has no known X-ray or gamma-ray counterpart, and is not associated with either a supernova remnant or a globular cluster, making it somewhat unusual.